This isn't for everyone. It's for the ones who know the old system is broken and are ready to build something that lasts. Welcome to the Build with Bitcoin podcast.
I'm co-host Israel Munoz, and with Lynn Bairstow, today we're doing another highlights episode. We enjoy going through recent content and trying to make a brief summary of key points for the listeners. So if you've enjoyed our highlights episodes in the past, you know what the format is. If this is new to you, we do our best at going through common themes we've identified from recent conversations. So in this highlights episode, we're covering three different startups, Blockspaces, Musket, and NewHedge. And we also have a conversation with one of the largest or most relevant investment firms in the space, 1031, as well as a conversation with Rod Rowdy from Bitcoin Park, one of the pioneers in physical Bitcoin spaces for co-working and community events. So we'll be going through some of the content that we covered from those five conversations, and let's maybe start with the first common theme. And the first one that we identified here was why these builders are choosing Bitcoin only. So this is just really getting at the work that's been done behind each respective conversation or guest and their background career. Some of them started with other crypto projects. Others just started navigating the macro landscape, studying this rigorously, and eventually kind of all paths led to Bitcoin, right? So what were some of your takeaways from that theme, Lynn?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a common journey. And I think you and I also did it. We were back in very early in the space when Bitcoin was kind of the only thing around. And then as other technologies started to evolve, or blockchains, explored that. And so, our guests, it was really interesting. I think the most notable case was Rosa Shores from Blockspaces, where she actually ran 11,000 nodes on 40 different blockchain protocols at one point, and really did deep dives with everything, and then came back to that Bitcoin was the true protocol that had the foundation, that had the security, that had the true decentralization to really provide the secure foundation for the business that she has developed. And I think that her episode really talks to kind of offering institutional products and smart contracts on the Bitcoin protocol. So, it's a fascinating episode for anybody who's wanting to dive deeper into why Bitcoin is so different than other blockchains that are out there. John Arnold came from Goldman Sachs and Citadel before he, so very traditional finance, and then settled on Bitcoin. Alon with his company NewHedge, which is like a Bloomberg terminal. And obviously, as different blockchains become very popular, people want to, the tendency would be to add everything in the kitchen sink into your product. And Alon was very thoughtful and very, very clear that he only wanted to focus on information and data related to Bitcoin, because he saw that early on as being the true blockchain that would, or protocol that would last and stand the test of time. And so I think that, the stories of each of these are unique, but they all point to the fact that Bitcoin is singular and providing the foundation for the new financial future.
I think it's interesting. The last example, Alon from NewHedge, I remember how he talks about how he viewed this Bitcoin focus as his competitive edge, as he saw many other analytics firms going the broad, all crypto approach. And it kind of reminds me of a previous conversation from a long time ago as well. Alex Leishman from River, if you recall, then him telling his story on how he saw Coinbase as well going the all crypto approach. And that's when he saw his opportunity to build a Bitcoin focused brokerage. I don't want to deviate, because that's not the, that's not the focus of this highlight series. But I think it goes to show, along with what Alon's approach was with NewHedge, that the fact that there's still this broad crypto categorization, it provides an opportunity for competition, right? And so Alon from NewHedge kind of goes through that whole backstory. And yeah, I mean, to your point, Lynn, I mean, every one of these conversations and founders had a different background, some from a more technical background, some from a more, you know, traditional finance or Wall Street background. But the common denominator was that they all clearly explain how once they saw the massive opportunity that Bitcoin is unlocking and that it's truly Bitcoin only, that's when they kind of honed their careers into that niche, right? So I think it's a fascinating, you know, insight that all of these very different companies and founders shared.
And I'm really glad you brought up Alex and River, who's written recently a little bit about this in some research that they've done, but underscores the point that a lot of the other cryptos are really, almost think of it like casino, or you're making a big bet on a price going up, where Bitcoin is foundational technology. Now, even the prediction markets that some of these other exchanges are adding in and cryptos, I mean, they really are only about number go up.
And, you know, I think these companies to that point, Lynn, will have a big head start in a way. I mean, that gives you compounding benefits as years go by of building out, you know, whether it's analytics in new hedges example or a brokerage, you know, back to River's example. And I think by the time that the market catches up and realizes that the other cryptos really are not providing much value, or consumers are maybe getting tired of that casino play, you know, the timeline there is, of course, a bit uncertain. But we know relative to Bitcoin, the other cryptos are, you know, safe to say going to zero for the most part. And by the time I think that's a clear conclusion, these early companies who started so focused on Bitcoin are just going to have such a big head start. I mean, the Bitcoin only focus that all of these shared is I think a you know, a powerful message, and in each conversation they get into it deeply. Yeah. So yeah, the other theme is touching on how the infrastructure is going through a robust building process, and that just kind of it's clear from the different conversations that we had. I mean, speaking specifically to the startups in the space, the builders, let's say in this set, that's Block Spaces, Musket, and NewHedge, very different companies. Block Spaces is building out the infrastructure for using Bitcoin as collateral and the risk management around that and all of the different use cases that that unlocks. And then Musket is building out payment infrastructure, and NewHedge is building out data and analytics. They're all very different verticals, but it just goes to show that behind the scenes, the infrastructure is being built out as we speak in a very robust way.
Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
Without diving into the specifics of each of those, which I think clearly the episodes are worth listening to, but it just points to what you described. It points to the diversity of opportunities, building companies around Bitcoin, how many opportunities there are, and also the maturation of the space. So, you know, we've gone from the dominant Bitcoin company being a wallet or an on-ramp into Bitcoin for retail buyers to having some very sophisticated tools for institutional players in there, like the metrics. And that can be for individuals or for institutions, but the level of detail that NewHedge goes into Bitcoin, and I mean, it is just an amazing platform. And then to your point, Block Spaces, you know, building something for Bitcoin as collateral, for smart contract management, and then also, you know, their future projects, talking about futures on what can be put into Block Space once the scarcity factor comes into play. Rosa and her team are really thinking deeply about what are some of the institutional needs of a sophisticated financial market and building that out early on. And then Musket having the spending endpoints and just really having a complete suite of products. And they're based in Europe, in London. So they serve that market predominantly, but they have plans to expand further. Just really, what does it take for a merchant and for the on and off ramps and conversion points of Bitcoin as a payment system? And so thinking about that deeply from an institutional perspective.
Yeah. And to that point on, I guess, the maturity of all of this. These aren't just concepts or ideas anymore. I mean, I think the conversations go to show where we are in this institutional adoption, to your point, Lynn, because I mean, Block Spaces with Rosa, she speaks to how they're working quite a bit with community banks. Musket, they speak a little bit to how they're working with some big multinationals on their cross-border treasury management needs. NewHedge with Alon, he speaks to how they've been approached by giants such as JP Morgan to use their analytics and insights. And this is all happening during, you know, a bear market in price action. So, you know, it does go to show that the infrastructure is now quite robust. Of course, there's more, you know, there's more to be built, and there's still plenty of roadmap ahead for all of these companies. But yeah, to your point, it is moving into a more mature phase. And additionally, we have a certain commonality, let's say, on how Bitcoin is changing how companies themselves are built. So this is more of a philosophical topic through one lens, but through another lens, it's actually very concrete and financially, it's diverging how a startup founder looks at equity, looks at fundraising, how a VC looks at deploying capital, how a VC looks at exit liquidity. So these are pretty fundamental changes and topics as well. What are your thoughts there, Lynn?
Well, it's, as you know, and probably as regular listeners know, this is one of my very favorite topics, is how Bitcoin can remake funding for startups and allow, I think, a more equitable, more opportunities for founders to build successful companies without having to scale too quickly or think of only one opportunity for exits, either a buyout or a IPO, where they essentially give up the individual control of the company. So I think, 1031, most people would define them as a venture capital fund. They like to define themselves as an investment platform for Bitcoin adoption. And this is the third conversation that we've had with partners from 1031, and they are one of the dominant firms that are really supporting the building of these companies. So they have just a great perspective on what the landscape looks like, what are the opportunities, what are they funding. So it was great to talk to John about this and just see how they're approaching providing capital to startups. You need capital for growth. How do they look at it? How do they allocate capital to even having a Bitcoin treasury within a company, to helping their founders determine the best ways to use that capital for growth at a cautious pace? And then you also have, from the founder perspective, you have somebody like Alon from NewHedge saying that he's self-funded. And so he has not wanted to take on, you know, traditional venture capital to grow his company because he wants to retain the control of it, where Musket is raising actually currently, and they have investors in their platform. So, you know, I think the diversity between these episodes just show the various approaches to it. But across the board, everybody is a little bit more thoughtful on having real growth through revenue versus just taking investment growth for scaling a company super rapidly.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's just kind of a bit of the natural outcome in a way of what Bitcoin forces you to do, which is think long term. So that's just having some, you know, some ripple effects in the VC and startup philosophy of how you approach things. And then they have a unique lens, of course, because they have, you know, dozens of portfolio companies, and they see many different flavors of startups and, you know, revenues, and he has some great insights on what prudent treasury management is for a startup in a growth stage, as far as incorporating Bitcoin into your treasury. There's some obvious benefits, of course, to that, but it does have to be well managed. It changes drastically how a founder thinks about fundraising, how an investor thinks about deploying capital.
And we can't forget Rod Rowdy from Bitcoin Park, because they actually provide a space where you have a number of founders that are gathered together.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up Rod and Bitcoin Park, because Rod does a great job speaking to the global nature of Bitcoin and how geographically dispersed the adoption is. I mean, they have a fascinating story. They have grown to be a community gathering point for students interested in this technology and this new asset class, for policymakers that are interested in engaging with, again, this new protocol that's taking off. So for anyone interested in learning more about how that first kind of grassroots community movement got going, the conversation with Rod is particularly interesting. Also of particular value for the builders to be able to gather with like-minded people in a physical place like Bitcoin Park. I think Musk, it also goes to show that, you know, they're building across the UK and Europe. They're not shy about trying to make it over here to the US and the Americas.
I know it is such an interesting paradox because it is, you know, Bitcoin is global it's just inherently global. And we see a lot of the more creative ideas and usage coming out of non-traditional markets, like the LATAM market is super strong with builders, the Africa continent has so much opportunity and so many really creative, even from mining to circular economies to usage of it. And where needs are greater to have more financial inclusion or protection against inflation, you see Bitcoin really thrive. So that comes from, you know, that's the global nature of it. And so within those regions where you have hubs, and it's fascinating because in the case of Bitcoin Park, based in Nashville and now also in Austin, they kind of took over the Bitcoin Commons effort and under the Bitcoin Park umbrella. But those are the two most vibrant scenes in terms of building within the United States around the Bitcoin protocol, which is different than Silicon Valley. And Presidio Bitcoin, who we've spoken with, has done a great job of trying to galvanize, you know, interest to demonstrate the opportunity of Bitcoin to that Silicon Valley broader tech market. And it's hard to focus the attention away from AI or crypto into that space. But where you have kind of greenfield in Nashville and Austin, and here we have builders that leave where they are and move to these hubs in order to be a part of the community that Bitcoin Park has been at the center of. And even, you know, London's hub, Mexico City, you know, we have spaces that are emerging all over the globe. But having a community is so important, yet we are all connected through this global network. So it's a fascinating thing to think about.
Yeah. And the last theme that's worth bringing up is this convergence that we're noticing. We've known for a while that Bitcoin and energy are very linked. And lately, AI is also introducing an interesting mix into that picture. And so Bitcoin, AI, and energy is a topic that Build with Bitcoin we're particularly honed in on as well, because we do see so many synergies. I mean, Lynn and I, through all of the conversations we've had since starting the Build with Bitcoin podcast, it's just clear that there's a lot of natural synergies between these different fields. Lately, on the AI side, we're seeing a lot of this, you know, this new agentic greenfield of how these AI agents are going to actually be communicating value to one another. And we're seeing a lot of maturation with the layer twos and Lightning in particular, and a lot of developer kits being built precisely made for agents being able to transact using Bitcoin due to its borderless and permissionless nature as well. It just makes so much sense. But this convergence of Bitcoin, AI, and energy is also touched on by Rod at Bitcoin Park. So they actually host an event called Imagine If, where they get into some of these topics. He has regular conversations with Kathy Wood on this. John Arnold also speaks a little bit to the Bitcoin and energy plays. What are some of your thoughts there, Lynn?
Yeah, and Israel, you talk about the agentic AI payment piece, which I think, you know, we've talked about in the past, and I think just has so much potential. But the other part of it that I think we're seeing even more, and that some of our guests talked about in the different episodes, was being able to really help build your company in a much more fast and efficient way. So, you know, one of the things that we've noticed with founders that are building around the Bitcoin protocol is they tend to be very lean in their approach to adding staff, to adding expenses, and they want to fund their growth out of revenues and profits versus investment capital to a large extent. But AI just enables so much greater efficiencies on vibe coding and just being able to progress the engineering piece of it at a much faster rate. So using AI, I mean, we're seeing a lot of all the companies that we talk to are using AI to develop their models, their engineering base. And so it just really helps that lean canvas that they're building on. And then, you know, seeing like Bitcoin Park really grasp that opportunity and really run with it in terms of educating and providing more opportunities for learning about it and hands-on workshops for how Bitcoin and AI can integrate more deeply. And then, you know, John from 1031 funding it and seeing these opportunities as well. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think the convergence of energy AI and Bitcoin are just a natural, and that will continue to see, you know, quantum gains in what can be built.
Yeah, there's just more and more evidence that they complement each other, these different fields. Fascinating conversations. Again, the highlights is meant to give you an overview and let you dig into any particular conversation that you find more interesting or relevant. So, you know, with that, we'll just leave it up to the listener to go back and focus on a particular startup or the physical hub in Bitcoin Park or the investment lens with John from 1031. So we hope you enjoy, and we'll wrap it up there if that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Build with Bitcoin. If you found it of value, please take a second to like, subscribe, or share. This helps the visibility and reach of our podcast so that more people are aware of the innovation happening in and around Bitcoin. It truly means a lot. I'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us at an event that Israel and I are hosting, Meet to Tech Talks 2026, taking place from October 25th to the 27th at the exclusive Punta Mita Resort in Mexico. This will be an intimate gathering of 125 invite-only participants exploring how the future of capital is being shaped by the intersection of Bitcoin, artificial intelligence, and energy. To request an invite or for more information, visit mitatechtalks.com. We hope you'll join us. And thanks again for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.